So on your seats, like I said, there is this card that is an outdoor worship experience invite. I want to encourage you and challenge you to take that and invite someone to bring with you to church next Sunday. Can we do that? I think we can do that. So I would just encourage you, we don't want to pick them up off the floor later when everything's over. We want you to actually take those home, maybe invite somebody, your family member, coworker, stranger. It's going to be a great time. Thank you to Larissa for that beautiful prayer. For that outdoor worship experience. So my name is Ben Kendrew. I am the campus pastor here at Brighton Heights. So welcome again to our visitors. It's a joy to be with you this morning. This morning's sermon is a little different. We're talking about what do I do when I believe, or what do I believe about. But it's more of a kind of standalone, if you will. So more of the thoughts and heart from where I'm coming from as a pastor. I haven't had a chance to share much, just to a couple things going on in my life. I wanted to share some updates on my house, if I could do that real quick. We're looking to close on a house on September 3rd. Everything goes well. We're just praying for that and believing for that. We did move out of our house in Monroeville. That closed without any problems. We moved out. There were some of you that helped me move out of that, so I appreciate all the help for that. But we're just thankful that God has moved us from Monroeville. We're now over in this side of the city. We're a little bit right now. We're staying in Beaver, in between. We're kind of an in between place. You've been in an in between place. You're kind of stuck. That's where we are. We're in Beaver. Yeah. So that's where we are. So that's just want to give you an update. So we'll be there until the house clears out, and then we'll be moving over to our house in Scott Township. So I just wanted to share. Thank you, everybody that's been asking and praying. We truly appreciate it and have felt your prayers. So from the bottom of my heart and Melanie, my kids, we just thank you for your support in that. So I have a question for you. I have a question. My question is this. Have you ever felt that you were in a season where you did not know what to do or what God was doing? Have you ever been in that season like that? I just explained to you I'm in that season. Right, that you're in a season, you're saying, God, what are you up to? God, what are you doing? Maybe you even said, God, are you there? Right, where you felt like maybe God is doing something, and you're in this season. Another way to think about it is maybe you're going through like a threshold, or you're on one side of the door, and you're not through it yet, or maybe like me, you're in the middle of a threshold waiting to go through it, or maybe you're on the other side of it. You're on the other side of that threshold waiting to see what God has for you, but whether you've been in a season of waiting or you're going through a season of whatever, asking that question, God, what are you doing? Or God, where are you? I believe this, that God is on the move and God is directing our paths and that God is good. And in a lot of times we're in these seasons of waiting or we're in these seasons of life where we're just saying, God, what's going on? What do you have for my life? We sometimes will begin to question, or as Larissa prayed, some people like say, I'm not even sure if I believe in this anymore, when you're in that season of waiting or you're in that season of transition or whatever it is. But here's the thing, that I know that when I'm in those types of seasons, God is at work. God is good. God can be trusted. God is available. He is always there. And so whatever you're going through this morning, I just want to say that. Wherever you are, whatever part of season you are in right now, healing from something, or you're on the other side of a relationship, whatever it is, that God is with you right now, and God wants you to continue to look to Him. So often what happens is that when we get into these seasons, or we get into these periods, that we just stop, we just kind of give up, and we kind of become numb to everything. Have you ever felt that way? And so as a pastor, a campus pastor here, I wanted to share that I feel God has called us and is taking us into a new season. As I was installed on April 21st here, that is a kind of a natural transition, a succession to a beloved pastor who's been here forever. But as I continue to succeed and go through that, I'm in a period of a new season. We as a church are in a new period of a season of what is God doing? And you can feel it and you can see it. And I'm excited for it. I'll be honest with you. I'm excited to see what God is doing and what He's doing in our church family, what He's doing in our kids' ministry, with Matt and Lauren Doby, what's going on with our students. There's some big things happening here. But there is something that's going on. So I want to extend this to you this morning. Whatever season you're in, I want to invite you to step into that and to lean into that and take that step of faith, even when it doesn't make sense. Continue to walk boldly and courageously in that. Amen? That's what we're called to do this morning. And so there's, you know, in my family right now, when we first moved here, if you don't know my story, I'll tell it to you one more time, so bear with me. We were in Ohio for 3 years during COVID. And God put us there, and we were there with a friend of mine named Ryan. He was a campus pastor there, and Ryan had me there. And I truly believe I was there to help him through the COVID period, to help him go. Maybe one of the worst times in the American church, maybe around the world. But I was there to help him. But as we began through that, Melanie felt this kind of like nudging, the Holy Spirit nudging her, saying, we need to get back to Pittsburgh. And I was like, what are you talking about? We just moved. And so... like a good husband, I said, okay, I'll listen, right? I will listen to what you have to say. So we began to pray, we began to fast, and then we found this kind of listing online. It was saying, we're looking for an executive pastor at Bridge City Church. Never heard of Bridge City Church. I clicked on the link, I applied. Wouldn't you know it, through 9 interviews and all these other things, I got to meet Pastor Rick, Pastor Gary, and Pastor Keith, and all these other pastors, and 9 interviews later, and a bunch of other stuff, I was hired. And it was, again, it was a new season. We went from one season to another season. And so we came here in faith saying, okay, we're going to step out in faith into this new executive pastor role. Well, about a year went by, and then there started to be this kicking of the tires. Hey, what do you think about becoming maybe the campus pastor at Brighton Heights? But I just moved to Monroeville. Well, you don't have to move right away. We're going to pray about it. And more those things went on, there was this kind of nudging in this season where Mel and I felt like, man, this is the Holy Spirit's in this. And so we began to pray and begin to fast and talk with Pastor Gary and Donna, Pastor Rick and Natalie, and so many other people. We felt we were being led into another season. That's a lot of seasons, wouldn't you agree? That's a lot of seasons. And so we stepped in. We got installed on April 21st. And then we started looking for a house. We put our house up for sale. In 2 days, the house sold. Then we started looking for homes. Looked at over 40 homes. Couldn't find anything. We're saying, God, where are you? What are you doing? We sold here. Now you're calling us. We're stepping out in faith. And so with that, there's tensions and frustration. Have you ever felt moving tensions? Like you're moving your family? Okay, a couple people. Thank you. I hope you're awake. So Mel and I are feeling this, like we're being led into this season. We feel like we're just blind right now. We're just stepping out and saying, God, we're going to trust you because of what you've done in the past in our lives. We're going to trust you. It doesn't make any sense to move. We're only even there 2 years in this house, and we moved out. But we know God is in this. We know God is for us. We know God wants us to be here. We feel strongly called here. And so eventually, like over the last few weeks, we found that house. God provided. He made a way for us. And so there's this season. Listen, I want you to hear this, that I believe this not only in my own life. I'm just using it as an example. I think God is on the move. He's stirring something within me. He's stirring something within Bridge City Church. He's stirring something within our country. Even within the church greater, the church universal, there's some things going on that God is moving and doing some great things. And the Holy Spirit is at work, and it's an amazing thing. So I just want you to think about this. Matthew 6, 22 through 23. This is from the Message, and it says this. Your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. So your eyes are open, your eyes are the windows to your body, and if you open your eyes in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. So it's actually seeing something differently for the first time. You're seeing things, and you're seeing life in a different perspective. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a musty cellar. You can't believe how many musty cellars I looked at over this last couple months. So when our eyes are squinting, we're not open and we're not trusting, it becomes like, look at that, a greed. Your eyes are like a musty cellar. That's a strong image. But if you pull the blinds on your windows, when a dark life you will have, right? So this is a call that we see in Matthew 6 to have these eyes open in wonder. And my prayer is that I do believe God is calling us as a church. He's calling me as the pastor. He's calling me as a father of my kids to have eyes open in wonder to see what God is doing. God is on the move. And if our eyes are shut and we're complaining and we're just all in ourselves and about our stuff, we're not going to be open to what God has for us. So my question is this, my challenge to you, the tension is, are your eyes open in wonder to what God is doing? Are your eyes closed and squinted? Are your blinds shut? Because I want to tell you this, that God wants you to have those eyes open with wonder, to watch him at work around you. He is at move around us. Well, you look at the world and you see a lot of craziness. I agree, it's crazy out there. But God is on the move. There's some different things going on that God is doing, right? And so God never promised us that if we follow him, that it's going to be smooth and easy, and we're going to amass wealth and health and all this other stuff. He never said that. He never said that. But he did promise that he will go with us, he is good, and that he will be there with us through our stuff, through our changing seasons. So whatever you're going through right now, each one of you are thinking of something. I'm in this season in my life. What is God? Maybe you're asking those. I want to encourage you to keep asking those questions. You know, but don't get bogged down by it. Don't let it be an anchor that weighs you down. Continue to ask those questions and seek God when he is in this. Listen, Isaiah 43 is a great passage of Scripture. It's a great passage of Scripture that we see from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. It's a time where God's people are in captivity. They're in captivity. They're in a place called Babylon. And in Babylon, they're basically giving God lip service. They're going through the motions, in other words. As they're God's people, they're in Babylon. They're basically going through the motions. And they're giving him lip service, and they're kind of going through the motions. But God wants to be the center of their lives, and so he sends the prophet Isaiah to be that mouthpiece, to be that megaphone, to wake them up. He wants to wake them up. And so he says, listen, I am your God. I want to be at the center of your heart. I want to be in your minds. I want to be in all areas of your life, just not sometimes or when you're in need or you need a house. I want to be all of you. I want to be all parts of you. I want to be in all areas of my life. And so he sends Isaiah to wake them up. Isaiah's name means Yahweh is salvation. His very name is a reminder to God's people that God alone, not Babylon, not riches, not education, not stuff, is salvation. There's salvation alone in God. And so Isaiah comes literally to bring this strong word and to call people back and remind them that God is the one who wants them to have all of their lives, everything about them, their hearts, their mind, their soul, all their possessions, right? And so Isaiah, as he's writing this, he writes in such a way that it's prophecies made about the coming Messiah. We sang about that today. We sang about the government rests upon his shoulders. And as Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus, before he was years and years, hundreds of years before he's born, he's in Isaiah 7 specifically and other ones, but he's pointing to Jesus. He's pointing to the hope that is found in Jesus. And it's not found in stuff. It's not found in our problems and circumstances. And oftentimes, when we get circumstances in our lives, I wanted the chair, but I don't want it now. A lot of times when we have circumstances, those begin to bog us down, and we begin to take our focus off of the cross, and we begin to focus. I don't have a house. My bed is literally next to the treadmill at my mother-in-law's house. My eyes are off the cross, and I look at that stuff. And so Isaiah is doing the same thing. You're focused on captivity. You're focused on the things. And I want to tell you, as a church family, sometimes we're focused on our stuff too much and not focused on God. And he's saying, church, wake up. Come back to me. Follow me. I want to be the center of your life. I want to be at the heart of who you are. I don't want you to get through these motions and religion and all this stuff. I want you to be led by the Holy Spirit and follow me. And so Isaiah's writings were this very introspective thing. It was this call to think of our lives, to examine ourselves. There was a philosopher that said, the unexamined life is not worth living. And I like that quote, because if we're not examining our hearts and where we are, taking the temperature daily, we're going to miss the mark. We're going to eventually take our eyes off of the cross and focus on the problem. Where is your focus this morning? Are you focused on your stuff, your problems, what you don't have? Are you blaming everybody else? Are you not taking ownership of your stuff? Are you blaming God? So here's the thing. Isaiah comes with this megaphone and blasts and calls the people back to God, because God wants to be at the center of their lives. God wants to give them freedom to live an abundant life. But because they're so focused on their schemes and their stuff that holds them down, they're not living the abundant life. And so as a church, I just think that God is saying to us, maybe we need to stop looking at all of our stuff and our problems. It matters. Believe me, it's shaping. It's important. I'm not saying it doesn't matter, because there's a lot of us that are going through some stuff right now. I get it. But he wants you to learn from that pain. He wants you to learn from that stuff. He wants you to learn from it so you could be able to pour into others, that you can honor the King. He wants you to be able to do that. But if we're so focused on our stuff and the season we're in right now, we're not focused on the cross and who Christ is, we're going to miss God's blessing. So God's people in this passage in Isaiah 43, they're not living into the fullness that God has for them. And I believe that's God what wants for us. He wants us to live in the fullness that all he has for us. But what happens is that when we hold on to our stuff, when we change our focus, when we get caught up, when you're so political you miss the cross, that's the problem, right? He wants you to focus on him. He wants you to focus on him and look to him for your guidance, for your way to live, to have freedom and fullness and abundance, right? And so there's this prophesying that happens. There's this word that's going out. Isaiah is prophesying and speaking. He's saying this will happen. The word Babylon means it's confusion. There's sinful confusion that's happening all around them. And we look at our world, we look at our own lives, there's a lot of confusion sometimes, right? And sometimes we need to stop. And we need to stop and say, am I in Babylon or am I really walking toward the cross? And so that confusion, we get caught up in the world system. We get caught up in a secular worldview as opposed to a biblical worldview. And so we're called back to that. That's prophecy that Isaiah is giving to them in 43, Isaiah 43. He's saying, listen, come back to God. He wants to be your God. He wants you to be his people. But they get caught up in the ways of Babylon and the ways and sinful ways of confusion. And it's tripping them up. It's stunting their growth. And we examine ourselves, and we examine our own lives, and we examine our own marriages. Are they growing to be more like Christ? Are they growing to glorify God? Or is it growing to look more like Babylon or the ways of the world? And so Isaiah says, wake up. Come back to God. And so Isaiah is this precursor. He's this prophet that begins this preview, this big 30,000-foot shot of, he's pointing to Jesus. He's pointing to Jesus and saying, he is the way to salvation, not Babylon. Jesus is cross. He's the one that provides freedom for you. It's not Babylon. So a lot of times we see that in God's people, we see in Isaiah, that they take God's presence for granted. They forget about all that he has done. Just think about Old Testament passages in Exodus and things like that. All that God did for them, what happened? They forgot. He provides meals for them, and they forgot. I don't like quail. I don't like manna. Should be this way. What about the cheddar biscuits, right? So God is always providing. God is providing. They forget about it, so they take God's presence for granted. And I think about our own lives, or as a church particularly, do we take God's presence for granted? We're just going through the motions, because here's what I'm telling you. God wants us as a church family to live in that abundant life. I know that. I know that that's what God wants for us. And I just want to encourage you that if you're dealing with stuff right now that's holding you back, that God wants you to surrender that and stop that. He wants you to surrender that and walk in his ways. You can't give what you don't have. If you're trying to serve, and if your relationship with God is wooden or stale, or your relationship with your spouse is off, or your kids, or whatever it is, you've got to get that right before you can serve and help other people. You've got to. So there's certainly a grace in that, but there's things we need to do. We need to take ownership. And I love the prophet Isaiah, that he's pointing to that ownership and that onus that we're to examine ourselves and to be God's people. And I think as a church, not just Brighton Heights, but the greater church in America, we've lost focus of that. We lost the touch. But I feel like there's no greater time than now to come back. There's no greater time than now for you to come back and refocus and submit your life and lay it out before him. And I love that about this passage. I'm going to read this, Isaiah 43, 14 through 19. I'm going to read the whole section. It's not up on the screen. But here's what it will say. For your sakes, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships they are so proud of. Listen to the kind of the tone that Isaiah has. I love it. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator and king. Remember, he's God's spokesman. I am the Lord your God who opened a way through the waters. He's calling them to remember, making a path, a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned and their lives snuffed out like smoldering candle wicks. Wow. But forgot all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Forget all of that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Did you hear that? It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. And so we think about what God has done in our lives, and I think about what how he's taken me through and how he's led my family through an amazing journey. He's saying, as I read that, it excites me. He says, forget about that, because there's some good, your better days are ahead. Forget about that stuff. There's some great days in the past, but he's saying, forget about that. Watch what I'm going to do. Listen, I think that's what God's saying to us, is that forget about those things. Remember it, honor it, but learn from it, but continue to move forward. Forward. Say forward. Forward. Move forward. Forget that. Verse 18. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Behold, for I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. And so what I love about this is that Isaiah is challenging God's people. And a lot of times Christians can have this attitude of entitlement. Well, I've served God all this time. I've done all this stuff. And we begin to have this like kind of this holy chip on our shoulder that shouldn't be there. Well, I was one of the charting founding members. Okay, what are you doing now? Right? What are you doing now? How are you serving God now? So what he's saying is this, like, listen, I want you to understand that I'm doing something new. Prepare your hearts because I want you to be part of this. Right? And so we have to prepare our hearts for what God is going to do. He's going to do something new. I'm excited about it. There's some great things happening in the Cross Bridge City Church as a whole campus, but also in Brighton Heights. And we have to be ready. God is going to do something new. He will do something new. And so that's who God is. That's just like God's nature. Like, what is God like? Is he a God that is this like this camp counselor that's ready to come down on you? Or he's this God who has a plan for you, and he has a way for you to live, and he wants you to live in this holiness, and he wants you to live in this certain way. But if we're continually trapped in our own stuff and focused on our own stuff, we're going to miss that blessing. God has a blessing for you. He wants you to have those eyes to see. That's my challenge. Do you have those eyes right now? Do you have the spiritual eyes to see what God is doing in your life and in this church and in your communities and in this country? Because I tell you what, he wants you to be part of that. He's calling you to come and follow him. He wants you to be part of that. But if you're focused on all the other stuff and you're blaming everything else, you're going to miss it. You're going to stay right in Babylon, just as Isaiah writes about. So God is doing a new thing. There's a new season that's happening as he's talking to the people of God's people in the book of Isaiah 43. God is going to do a new thing. He's pointing to Christ. But I would say this, even for today, God is going to do a new thing in our lives. He's going to do new things in our lives. Next Sunday, I can't wait to see what God is going to do down at the stadium, right? So God is calling us up out of the ordinary, out of the mediocrity, to rise above our perceived limits. To have eyes of wonder. Eyes of wonder is to not continue to be living like that kind of like ho-hum, but it's to look toward God, to lift your eyes up to heaven. It's to live above those perceived limits that you can't do it because you can't in your own strength, but God, giving you his strength, can help you get through anything. And so we need his Holy Spirit is the other thing we see here. The Spirit, right? If our eyes are up and we're focused on God, we have to see his hand of preparation that the Holy Spirit is moving in us. How is he moving in us? Well, we have all of these opportunities to serve. We have all of these brothers and sisters in here to do life with. This is a way for us to do great things. And so in order for us to rise above those perceived limits, I'm going to need someone like Sam. I'm going to need someone like Doug to help keep me sharp. And you're going to need someone to take you to that 10% like Pastor Gary says. And so that's what we're called to do that. So he doesn't want us just to be compliant, but he wants us to live and step out in faith. And so often I think as we see in Isaiah 43, they were so compliant and they were just kind of worn down by Babylon. But Isaiah was called to wake them up. That he's calling you to more. He's calling you to live more and more in your faith. In Isaiah 43, verse 14 and 15, this should be up there. It says this. This is what the Lord says, Redeemer of Israel, for your sakes I will send my army against Babylon, right? This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And so this is a season that he is the Redeemer. He is the one that's going to make it happen. He is the one that hears you. He's going to redeem what you're going through. He's going to redeem that season as he did with God's people in Babylon. He's going to redeem what you're going through. God isn't a God who is in the business of second chances. He knows what you're going through. He knows the problems you've gone through. And you know, listen, I have a situation in my family where I have prayed for healing every day. I won't say what it is. I've prayed for healing to happen every day in this person's life, and God has not healed her. But I know that God is good, and I'm going to continue to pray that because that's who God is. I'm going to continue to step out in faith. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. And so we have this God that he is going to redeem us. He takes old stuff and makes it new. He takes broken things and makes them beautiful. He can take a life like mine and use it in this manner. He can do the same for you. So God is at his work when he shows off, when he takes brokenness and redeems it and uses it for his glory. And you think about our own lives. You think about the people of Israel in Isaiah 43. They were a broken people, but he redeemed them. He can redeem you. You have a story to share. I want to encourage you, whatever your story is, wherever you work, whatever role or season you find yourself in, God wants to take that and redeem it and use it for your benefit, but also for his glory. But you need to have those eyes to see. You need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen? Are you with me? We didn't come here for information. We came for transformation. That's why we come to church. We don't come to just get information. We live in the greatest time in the history of the world in terms of information. It's overkill. We want to be transformed people. We want the Holy Spirit to transform us so we can leave and go out these doors and make an impact for him. Amen. That's what we're called to do. But listen, we have to remember what God has done. So if you're in a season right now and it's wearing you down, I want to encourage you to take a pivot, push pause, remember all that God has done, but then move forward. Say forward. Move forward. Move forward through that. So God is, listen, there's this expansion that he wants to do in your life. He wants to do in his kingdom. He's calling us to move forward. He says, I've got this. God is a God who's got this. He's the one that is more than able. He's the God of the mountaintop. He's the God of the valley. Whatever season, whatever you're going through, God is there. He cares. He loves you. And so the challenge is for us to stop and see him at work. Instead of blaming, putting our head down, getting caught up in all the stuff. But it's going to take some effort on our parts to do that. Amen? Verse 16, God says, I've done this before. In Isaiah 43:16-17, I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. It's a reference to when he led the people out of the Exodus from Egypt, and he took them through the Red Sea. And that was amazing. That's a miracle. It's an amazing thing. Then he says in verse 17, I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with chariots. They were bearing down on them and following them. And then he closed the waves on top of them, the mightiest army in the world at that time. And what he says is, I forget about that. I'm going to do even greater things than that. So God is a God who says, listen, I'm taking you into the next season. I want you to know that there's so much more in store for you. But we need to look inward at ourselves. We need to examine our hearts. We need to do business. Maybe come up here and pray at the end, to pray with somebody at the end. In order to go outward, we need to be able to do things inward. We need to examine our hearts. Amen? And then listen, even like provision, God's provision with your seasons. Like I'm a testimony to that. God will provide for you. It might not be in your timing. It might not be the easiest way, but he will provide for you. So I just want you to know that God is in your season. He sees you. He knows what you're going through. But listen, here's the trick. If you can do that with joy, that brings him greater honor. It does. That's the way to honor the king, is that when you're going through your season, do it with joy so others can see it. So it never ceases to amaze me what God does. I love the Apostle Paul, his strong words. His resume of pain and change and seasons is amazing. But he says that famous verse in Philippians 3:12-14, not that I have already obtained this or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made it his own. Brothers, sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Verse 14, I press on to the goal for the prize for upward that God has called in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature, that's a good word, mature. Where are you this morning? Are you a Christian that is maturing and growing and healthy? Or are you a Christian that is immature and stagnant and not growing? That's a great challenge for us to think about as a church. Where are we? So God is calling you up. He's calling you to maturity. He's calling you to health. He's calling you to that. Verse 15, let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have already attained. And so that is a great encouragement from the Apostle Paul. It's a great encouragement that I kind of think Isaiah, as he's remembering Isaiah as well, is forgetting what was behind but straining forward what God has done. What is it in your life right now that you need to press forward on, that you need to strain forward and forget about and move forward? Maybe there's something in your life that is tripping you up. I just want to challenge you right now. Maybe there's something in your life that God says, I want you to let that go and I want you to move forward. Only you know what that is. Only God knows what that is. But I want to challenge you before you leave here to do business with God and let that go, to be able to move forward with all that God has you in his fullness and freedom. Let's look at verse 18. He said, Isaiah says this. He said, God says, watch what I am about to do. Watch what I'm about to do. But forget about all that. Nothing is compared to what I'm going to do. And so he's referencing one of the greatest scenes in the Exodus, right, of his people. And he's saying, forget about that. I'm going to do greater things. And you think about your own life, that you think that maybe the glory days have gone past, or you, just like an old high school athlete, longs for those days. Forget it. They're gone. They're gone. But we're pressing forward to see what God has for us. As a church, as a believer, right now where you are, God has some great things in store for you. But you have to have those eyes open. You've got to take ownership. Are you with me? We jump down to Jeremiah, that slide. Jeremiah 9:23, he says, this is what the Lord says. This is another Old Testament prophet. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches, but those who wish to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord, and who demonstrates unfailing love, who brings justice and righteousness to the earth, and I delight in these things. I, the Lord, have spoken. And so if we're going to boast or brag or honor, whatever the word you would like to say, this is what we're supposed to do. That's the thing we're supposed to do. We're supposed to brag and honor God with our lives and not talk about all of our accomplishments. And a lot of times we turn inward focus and we become selfish and kind of greedy, and the focus, the spotlight goes away from the cross and it goes to ourselves, and that leads to a mess. And that's how God's people continually got in this loop through the Old Testament history. And what we see today, we get in this loop. When we start changing the focus onto self from God, we change it to self, we get in this loop, and we get stuck in these patterns, and we begin to fall short of God's glory. And so maybe that's you. Maybe that's you this morning. You're stuck in that pattern. But what I love about this is that idea, that truth, is that we're called to honor God with our lives. Are you honoring God? Are you honoring the King? Are you honoring him with all that you have? Or are you just going through the motions? And so that's where it becomes stagnant. As the people that were in captivity in Isaiah 43, they went through the motions. They didn't honor God. And I want to say this, that Christian church, family, 2024, listen, we're called to honor God. We're called to honor him with our lives. Are you doing that? Because if we don't, we're getting tripped up. We're getting in the ways of Babylon, and we're going to get stuck in that pattern again, over and over again. And so here's the thing. I love the imagery. We have this. Isaiah 43:19. Listen to these metaphors. For I'm about to do something new. See, have already begun. Do you not see it? Do you not see it? I will make a path through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. So these rivers, anytime you see water in the Bible, it is a symbol of life-giving flow, Holy Spirit flow, or life-giving essentials. It gives sustenance and fertility. It's also a blessing. It's part of baptism. It's a major, major image that we have, but it's going to find a way. You think about a river, you can't stop a river, you can dam it up, but it's going to find a way eventually. And so there's this image that Isaiah is putting out there, is that he wants this river to flow from us, this life-giving flow that's in us. That's the Holy Spirit. Do we have that? Are we quenching the Holy Spirit with our stuff? Are we quenching the Holy Spirit with all the things that we're going through? Because here's the thing, when we let that go, that river is going to be unstoppable. He's going to do mighty things through you. The metaphor he uses is roads, pathway through the wilderness, a new way to walk, a new way to live. God is looking for new rivers. He's looking for new roads. Maybe there's this new road that you're supposed to take. I know that the Brighton Heights, we're on a new road, just for the simple fact that I'm the campus pastor now. We're on the same road, but we're on a different direction, right? So we're he's making new ways for his people to find God, to cross the bridge, to come into relationship with him. We need you. We need you. We honored all those people this morning that are serving, but there's so many different needs. Listen, I want you to hear this. There's over 20 or plus or so that are not serving. We would encourage you to find a way, connect with Wayne or Chris or myself, Pastor Gary, whomever, Doug. We want to help you serve. There's an opportunity for you to serve and grow and serve the King and honor the King. But we need people to step up. So there's new roads. We need you to step up. We need you to get on the road to help make a path for someone else to come into a relationship with Jesus. So we heard about this idea of the desert. There's this desert that's from Babylon to Canaan or Israel, where we are, right? There's this desert. And in between, God is going to make a way, but there's this reliance and this step of faith that we're called to walk through those deserts and those seasons that we have in our life. What are the roads that God is calling you to take? What are the rivers what are the things that you need to let go of so that river, the Holy Spirit, can flow through your life? Mark 2:22, Joe, if we can get that. Mark 2:22, and this is Jesus' words, and he says this, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins." And so Jesus is talking about this new direction, this new path. He's talking about the same thing that Isaiah was talking about in 43. There's this new thing that God is doing. He's making new wine. And in order to make new wine, there needs to be some pressing. There needs to be some problems that we go through. There just needs to be that. And so he's making new wine. And so it's just this call to us. It's just this call as a church to think about the direction we're going individually. Are you examining yourself? Are you drawing near to God? Are you focusing on him? Are you still stuck in kind of like this captive Babylon? You're stuck in your own patterns. You're stuck in your old relationships and habits, things like that, that cause you from actually growing. Because that's the thing. God wants us to take this new season, to take new roads and take these new rivers so we can reach more and more people for the kingdom of God. And we need you to do it. But we need to be able to do that work, an examination. We need to look at ourselves and through the lens of Scripture to see that God has got this. God is a God who can handle this. He's strong. He's endures. He's there. He's faithful. He's a God that has done it before in the past, and he's a God that will do it again. And as someone that is going through a season right now, that I'm kind of in limbo right now. I'm staying in my mother-in-law's basement. Yeah, that's funny. It is. It really is funny. I'm next to a water tank and a treadmill. I can touch it with my hand. And I look up, there's rafters. I'm 47. But God's calling me to step out, right? But he's calling us. Listen, he's calling us. Whatever it is, whatever we're going through, a season, we might not be comfortable, but he still wants you to take that step of faith and believe. I don't know where you are right now, but he wants you to believe. I'm going to ask Beth to come forward and play behind me here. But there's this verse in John 7. Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me, and anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." And so out of Jesus, out of the throne of heaven, comes this flow, this living water. That as we're going through these seasons, they may be life-giving, or they might be dry, or whatever it is, but it's only through Jesus that we have this river of living water. And so whether you are in your faith, I just want to encourage you to seek Jesus as that living water. Whatever season you're in, whatever road you're taking, that he would be that living water for you. Isaiah 43:21 says this, "I have made Israel for myself." You can hear God's heartbeat here as he speaks to the people in Babylon in captivity. "I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world." So you can hear that God is a loving God. He cares about us. He loves you. He loved his people back then, and he loves you right now, right where you are. Even what season you're going through, he loves you. "I have made Israel for myself, and someday they will honor me before the whole world." And that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do is, listen, how are you going to learn from this season, and then how will you honor God through that? Don't waste this season. Don't just blame and miss it. Lean into it. Get centered. Root down. Sit down in the midst of it all and say, okay, I'm going to learn from this. I'm not going to miss. I'm going to listen, and I'm going to look out and see what God is doing in my life. But you have to be willing. You have to be teachable. You have to be moldable. to be able to do that. I can't wait to see what God's going to do through Bridge City Church in this year. It's going to be amazing. I'm so excited. That my hope and prayer is a pastor. And my hope and prayer is just a believer that there was to be this flow of living water, the flow of the Holy Spirit that would come through here, that people would be so contagious that people would say, what is going on there? I want to be part of that. And that's what my hope and prayer, that people can't wait to get here. They just can't wait to get here and worship. Are you there yet? We're going to get there. That we're joyfully serving. We're not dutifully going through the motions like we're paying taxes or cutting the grass. But we're joyfully serving because we get to honor the King. That's my hope and prayer for Brighton Heights. Is that when the word is preached, we're going to soak it up like a sponge. We're going to take pictures. We're going to write notes. We're going to talk about it afterward. We're going to think deeply on God's word. And when the worship team is up here, when the first bar is played, we're going to praise Him with all that we have. One of the great compliments I've heard recently when my cousin Kent was here, he goes, I've never heard a smaller church worship like that. I was like, yes, that's what it's about. We're honoring the King. I want to encourage you, please stand. Whatever season that you're going through, that this old has passed and the new has come, and God is leading you somewhere through that season, just ask Him, close your eyes, bow your heads, just right now, God, what season are you leading me through? What are you having me learn in this season right now? In this new river, this life-giving flow, Holy Spirit-led lives, Lord, how are you leading me? How are you leading me in this new river? Lord, help me to identify those things that cause that flow to be blocked. And Lord, help me to lean into your leading in that way, Lord. Help the river of life flow through me. And finally, the new roads. What are the ways in which you can help people find Jesus through the wilderness and lead people out of their own season of dryness? What are the ways you can help people experience God more and more? You help them cross the bridge. So, Father, I just pray right now for myself right now, Lord, that I would examine my heart. Lord, not in my own strength, but your strength and your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would help me in this time to lead well, to follow your Spirit, not in my own strength, but in yours. Father, I pray for Brighton Heights Church. Lord, help us in this new season to remember all that you've done in the past, but to move forward in boldness and confidence because you are faithful. You've always been faithful. So help us, Lord, in this new season to figure out ways in which we can serve, that we get to serve, that we can honor you with our lives and through our service and through our smile and our gifts and all these different things you've blessed us with. Lord, help us to be the church. Now, help us to be of the church now and stand up to honor you, Jesus. And so, Father, I pray blessing upon everybody here, that whatever they're going through, how heavy it is, Lord, that you are a strength and weakness. However sad we may be, Lord, that you are joy in the morning. Lord, whatever we're going through right now, I just pray that we would hold on and take that step of faith in you, that you would guide us in your ways. And so, Father, we thank you in this time. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen.